Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. And men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's show. Now, whether you've been a longtime subscriber or you're brand new to this thing, welcome. I'm thankful that you're here. When you get the opportunity, when you're done listening to this podcast, of course, visit some of the links in the show notes. One of them would be our website, thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this podcast episode, the whole catalog of previous episodes. You can see what's available in the gear store. Sign up for the framework field notes, which goes out every week, focusing in on one aspect of our framework for biblical manhood. There's a whole bunch more in those links. But the last one there is going to be Loader Road Goods, who is the sponsor of the Wednesday A Quiet Life podcast. Now, I spent a little time sitting outside before I came in to do this, and I thought, the seasons are changing. When seasons change, needs change. And perhaps there's something you need to get when you think about Easter weekend, which would be Sunday, March 31st, or you know, graduation or some gift coming up here in the next couple months. Consider Loader Road Goods. You put in the discount code, A Quiet Life, you'll save 15% off of your order when you check out. Men, it's time for today's podcast conversation. So do you remember in elementary school when the teachers would give you like these little tips or songs or clever things to remember so you understood the rule of your reading, writing, or arithmetic or whatever you were doing? By the way, I'm so thankful I grew up in a day and age where I didn't know anything about my teacher's personal life or political views. They were just trying to teach me not to be a knucklehead. So they would tell you like how to memorize the A, E, I, O, U, or I before E, or you know, the little acronym to learn the planets. You know, Pluto's not there anymore, but he had a good run. The one that like clicked immediately, and I know this is basic and this is so like, it just tells you how hard it was for me in first and second grade, but the teacher said the greater than symbol. Right? So the greater than was like an alligator's mouth open. And even as I'm telling you this, I'm second guessing myself, that the open mouth meant it was eating the bigger number. To this day, I'm 48 years old. I still remember when I look at that alligator eating the bigger number. There is a redeemable quality in all the tuition that was paid. I can remember the greater than symbol. I say that because I want to get to this. And before I get into this, I do feel like I owe this to you, and I want you to hear. I'm not coming down on guys. I don't want to come across on this episode as condescending, demeaning, arrogant. I just want to have an honest conversation with you, and I don't think this conversation is going to change your life, but I think it could be a perspective changer maybe for you and I. I've talked to my wife about this very point that every man has a fear of being less than, okay? So every man has a fear that they're less than what they used to be, or they're less than their neighbor, or they're less than the family down the street, or the, you know, the kid in your son's class who has this, that, or the other. You're less than when it comes to your men's Bible study. You're less than, you know, when it comes to maybe one of your class reunion guys, right? We all have this fear of being less than. Every man has insecurities. Every single guy. I spent a lot of years thinking I was the only one. I spent a lot of years thinking I was the only insecure person. That I was the only person who second-guessed themselves. That I was the only person who, you know, didn't want to pray because I didn't want to sound dumb. Or, you know, I can think of scenario after scenario where I thought, no, you're not qualified to say that. You're not qualified to speak up. You're not qualified to do that. You're not like, it's a lie from the enemy of our soul. If we don't get our identity from our Creator and what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, then we will try to find our identity in all the wrong places and we will be left wanting. And it will be it's a disaster. And what I want to do is I want to use a few places in Saul's life of the Old Testament. Saul of the Old Testament. And I'm going to kind of scoot through these. And my ultimate goal is to land in 1 Samuel 15 and show you where I think the rubber meets the road here and what the real problem is. Look, I want you to know that when I look at Saul, I'm not picking on him. He made a ton of mistakes, but this isn't a guy that applied for the job either. Like Moses, like anyone in the scripture. I don't know anyone in scripture who was like, I want that job. Let me have it. The same way when God puts a call on your life, most of the time we're not out there, you know, looking for it. God just places it on us. Well, Saul got that. Well, the problem is his insecurities began to consume him. And he had a good go. You know, I'll start with this. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. There was a man whose name was Saul. He was a handsome young man. Anyone else got that problem? I never had that problem. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. Again, not me. From the shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Now, I'm definitely out on that. I've never been taller than anybody. That's never been an issue. But I think there's something to this. I said on a podcast recently that, you know, there are people, Zacchaeus, who probably have a short man syndrome. You know anybody with a short man syndrome? They're just angry and wiry, and they kind of got this edge to them. But I also know a lot of big guys who think, like, people are just intimidated by them because they're a big guy. Like, I've heard guys say that, like, whoa, with my stature, and when I walk in a room, I'm like, that has never been a concern to me, ever. You know what's a concern to me? Someone who's incredibly fit, and, you know, you go, okay, that dude can do something. But appearance, tell me guys aren't insecure about appearance. Get a little older, you lose your hair, it turns gray, your eyesight stinks, your ears stink, you smell more. You know, I wore a suit a few weeks ago, and I think I'm shrinking. The pants were baggy, and not good baggy. A friend of mine was like, well, that's good. I said, not around the waist, around the legs. The legs were baggy. I don't know how that happened. But Saul had a good start with his appearance. As a matter of fact, it's even noted again in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Where is that at? They ran and took him from there. Verse 23. And he stood among the people. He was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. Well, they found him because God told him, behold, he's hidden himself among the baggage. Here he is. He's going to be presented in front of the people. And he said, stage fright. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Even when they presented him, people said, long live the king. Saul didn't want this. And that shows that he is an insecure individual. And listen, there's nothing wrong with having insecurities. I think everybody has them, as long as they do not define you. I was doing marriage counseling one time for a couple, premarital counseling. And they had both been divorced and a couple other things that were kind of, that you might say, well, it was a knock on this or that or whatever. And I told them, I said, one of my concerns for you is that everything that you believe unites you separates you from everyone else in culture. Like you're the outcast type of couple because you've gone through these things. And I like that it will unite you, but it's going to cause a massive tension. Well, it did. It did. And not just that. There was a lot of things. But you are going to be insecure. It's going to happen. There is that fear that I am less than. But again, if we don't find our identity in our Creator and the fact of what Jesus did for us, we're going to try to find it in other places. When people yelled, long live the king, I don't think it was enough for Saul. I think it actually ended up turning him the other way. You see, you could be insecure and overcompensate for it in ways that are aggressive or passive. Some people go passive. They go hide in the baggage. They go hide, they run, they shut down, they don't respond, they don't return calls, they don't return emails, text messages, they got something going. Some people go the other way. And they become boisterous and they become aggressive. And what happens here in 1 Samuel 13, he's fighting the Philistines, which is a consistent theme in his life and in his, reign as king. 1 Samuel 13:3, Jonathan defeated the garrison of the Philistines. Now they blew a trumpet through all the land saying, let the Hebrews hear, and all Israel heard it, that Saul had defeated the garrison of the Philistines. Now that's important, I believe. You could say, well, Saul did defeat the garrison of the Philistines because he's king and he would get the victory for that. Well, when David defeats Goliath and they start singing songs about how wonderful David is, Saul doesn't like his songs anymore. Suddenly he looks at him in quite a different way here. So what I see happening here is Saul is becoming someone who has to have credit for things. If you're an individual that has to have credit for things, it will wreck you if you don't get enough accolades or acknowledgement, or if someone else gets it. Now, I'm a firm believer, do not steal glory from God. Don't ever try to get your hands on something that belongs to him. However, from a human standpoint, someone will say, hey, good job, or I appreciate when you did this, or thank you for doing it. You say, yeah, you got it. But there will be things that you might do that you might not get credit for. How do you handle that? Well, I don't really want to say anything. I don't make a big deal about it. But yeah, it was me who bought that or who did that. Or, you know, if you have to have credit for things, it is reflective of how small you really do see yourself. I'm sure there's plenty of things in life that I would have liked to have received credit for and didn't. Or someone might say, well, I learned this from that person. You're like, well, man, I say that all the time. Nope. If we have to get credit, go, hey, I did that. I said that. Or I, you know, it really does put you in a really odd frame of mind. Because no matter what credit you do receive, let's say you get an award for it, it won't be enough. And that's what happens to Saul. It's not enough. Whatever he does get, it will not be enough. And then we get this thing where Saul gives this rash vow that nobody's going to eat. Nobody is going to eat. And the men, verse 24 of chapter 14, and the men of Israel had been hard-pressed that day. Hard-pressed, that sounds tough. So Saul laid an oath on the people saying, cursed be the man who eats food until it is evening, and I have avenged on my enemies. So the other people taste the food. Saul said, I'm going to show you how mad I really am. Nobody's allowed to eat anything until I win this battle. Now, that's a good idea. Starve your people. Starve the people who need to fight for you. I remember in high school, like when we had a tail kicking on an away basketball game, which happened all too often. But there were times we would get on the van. And the coach, who was also the driver, we were a small, poor school. The coach, who was also the driver, would look in the mirror and he'd be yelling at us in the mirror as if he didn't do enough in the locker room. And he'd say, I don't want any talking on the way home. Well, this is before cell phones. We couldn't text or anything. We didn't care. You just put your Walkman headphones on. You just put the hood up, take a little nap. Drive us home, coach. No talking. That'll be your punishment. Saul says, your punishment for the situation we're in is nobody's going to eat any food. Well, Jonathan doesn't know about this vow and dips his staff into some honey, eats it. His eyes are brightened, which means like, wow, he has a renewed vigor for a minute because he got some sugar, he got some honey in him. And the people are like, that's a bad deal. So when Saul finds out and the people are there and Jonathan's there, the people's like, man, they're going to take up his cause. Like, don't do that. Time and time again in the life of Saul, we see him doing something because he has a concern for how he is going to be viewed. I said in the very beginning, every man has a fear of being less than. Where are your areas that you have that fear? You might not even be able to identify them right now, or maybe you say, well, where would I start? Some people have a fear of being less than when it comes to their bank account. Some people have a fear of being less than when it comes to the bedroom. Some people have a fear of being less than when it comes to their parenting or lack thereof. Some people have a less than when it comes to the vehicle they drive, what they do for a career, how well they provide, their position. Some people, their ultimate goal or aim in the world is to get a position of authority. Because if I can get a position of authority, then it proves I am somebody. And churches, I love them. I believe in it's the bride of Christ. But churches sometimes can do a really poor job of this. And you can put people in leadership who have no position being there just because they've been there a long time and they're silverbacks. Well, old so-and-so, he'd been here a long time. Maybe we need to put him as a trustee. Well, then he gets to be a trustee and his character's not really developed to be a trustee, and he makes your life a living nightmare because he got a little bit of power. He got a chair and he got a key. See, we're all trying to overcompensate in some way. Most men you know do not vomit their life on you and tell you all their insecurities. If they did, you're like, hold up, what are we doing? And again, we all have them. They come out in different ways. I heard someone say it once. I don't recall if I've told you guys, but I heard someone say it once that the way you responded to like being bullied or friends or whatever in junior high school, so 6th, 7th, 8th grade, will follow you the rest of your life. So if that was just you know, it's a mess for everybody, right? Like, nobody knows who they really are in junior high school. And I said that recently with around some guys that I really respect. And one of the guys was like, you know what? That is absolutely correct. Just think about that. When you get frustrated, when you feel overwhelmed, when you get, do you see any correlation to your junior high self? It might be there. So we got a problem here. Saul has crossed the line. The Lord is rejecting Saul. Samuel decides to drop the hammer on him. And listen, I'm not going to give Samuel a complete pass here. One of the reasons why we're in the position we're in with Saul leading is because Samuel, for whatever reason, didn't learn from Eli's mistakes and did not parent his own men, his own young men in his house to the point that people looked around and said, "You're getting old. We don't want them to lead us." And so now we're at a place we're going to get a king. Well, Samuel said, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, "Though you are little in your own eyes." Now, is he talking about his stature? Does Saul see himself as a short man complex? No, we've already covered the fact he's a tall dude. You see yourself little in your own eyes. That doesn't mean he sees himself as insignificant. He sees himself as insecure. So he's overcompensating for all these things. Are you not the head of the tribe of Israel? Brother, though you see yourself little in your own eyes, is she not your bride? Are those not your children? Are you not a part of the local body of Christ, the local church? Do you not represent Christ wherever you go? To out to eat, to the grocery store, to your kid's school? Though you see yourself in that light, are you not that person? The Lord sent you on a mission and said, go devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. He was given orders from headquarters, and Saul said, nope, can't do that. I want to jump down to 22. Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Verse 24. Now this is the hook. I've been saying all this to get to this verse. Verse 24. Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared people and obeyed their voice. It is obvious from the text that Saul was an insecure man and he's an insecure king. Because of this, Saul becomes too easily swayed by appearances and the opinions of other people. This is not uncommon. I would say every man who's listening to this or watching this right now can say, I've been there. Some guys could say, I've been there as soon as today or yesterday. It's that fresh. That I was easily swayed by something that was a visual or something that was an opinion of or thought or of somebody else. However, our God expects obedience over trying to give the appearance of being spiritual. He'd rather have your obedience than you to try to give a perception of reality that's not true. And then ultimately we become a fraud. So our God knows and desires what is absolutely best for us. And he knows what good will come when we surrender to him instead of the opinions of others. Every man has a fear of being less than. Every man has a concern that in some way he doesn't measure up. Every guy. And it looks a little bit different man to man, but it's not. So if we're to sit around a campfire and you start telling your story and you tell your story and you tell your... Here's the reality. We're all looking around going, yeah, mine just looks a little different. The names have changed. The locations changed. The scenario changed. But the reality of the insecurity is there. This is the weapon of the enemy of our soul. He preys on an insecurity, whatever that is. Like what he did to Eve, as if God was withholding something from her. Lot and his family, like, why would you ever want to leave here? Well, because it's a horrible, horrible place, right? Like, you can look at people time and time again throughout Scripture, and what he does is he preys on that insecurity. Judas I thought we were getting a king. I thought we were getting a kingdom. I thought we were getting power. Ananias and Sapphira, they give their offering and they're like, well, if we say this is what we got, even though we keep some, everyone's going to say, man, they are so generous. Well, it cost them their life. This is a theme throughout Scripture, and it's a theme throughout history, because the condition of the human heart has never changed. It just looks a little bit different, but we can all relate to it. We can all relate to everything that Saul says and does here. We can all relate. We've all done it. Every man has a fear of being less than. So how do we reconcile this? You got to give it to the Lord. You got to give it to the Lord and say, your word says, when I'm weak, you're strong. And God, there's plenty of areas where I have massive amounts of weaknesses or insecurities or things that I feel like a failure at, or things that I'm trying to overcome, or things that I'm trying to overcompensate, or things that I hope, you know, other people don't find out or whatever. I have this, that, or the other. We all got them, man. We all have them. You got to give it to the Lord. And then I would tell you, I would strongly urge you, you have got to find a community of men that you can be on a journey with and do life with. Hey, you know me, man. I push you, get in tribe. There's something about the distance in tribe that we're all spread out across the globe that is inviting to conversations. We talk about some things in tribe that I promise you, you don't talk about to people in your own life or people that sit next to you on Sunday morning. I promise you. We just don't. Or you don't, because I hear that all the time from guys. Man, I've never discussed this. I know there's an opportunity for us to get it out there. And then when we meet one another, after we talk about how tall or short everyone is, we already know each other. We've already crossed that bridge. We already know you're a mess, I'm a mess. Now let's move on. Let's follow Jesus. I'm telling you, those are two things. You got to get straight with the Lord. And you say, I don't want to overcompensate. You've made me in your image. Not someone else's image. You've made me in your image. Help me delight in that. Help me find joy in that. And then help me find community. Help me find a brotherhood where I can grow with them and I can move the same direction with them. They're for me. They're with me. And I'll be better because of it. Because when we try to overcompensate for these insecurities, it never goes well. It never goes well. And then somehow we develop this idea, we have a fear of being found out. Here's the reality. We all already know. I don't know, hardly ever has a guy shared something I thought, I'm shocked. It's not that I know the skeletons in your closet, it's just that I know you're a guy. I know that your thing is not that far from my thing and his thing. And so, again, when you get around them, you're just better together. You're better together, man. Don't live with the fear of being less than. It's going to pop up. Satan's going to try to use it. Give it over to the Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening. Thanks for watching. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.